Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. It's Mary from the Mary Gardner Show, and I am so excited. I have a guest in the studio with me today. And, you know, I think you guys know me well enough now. I'm not all that political, even though I did work on Capitol Hill. I worked for Senator Paul Laxalt. He was Reagan's best friend. And I worked there because when you got out of college and you didn't have a lot of money, they told you that you could go and go to all, like, the lobby parties. And so that's how I actually fed myself the full first year when I was working on Capitol Hill. So that was, like, my introduction to politics. But when I was working on Capitol Hill, I realized that people are very smart, very, very intelligent. But, you know, you don't ever often know their background, and you just meet them and how they speak and how they present themselves, and do they have poise and presence, and are they somebody who's going to argue and be a jerk, or are they somebody who is going to be really kind and also present a persuasive argument to try to lead people to a new idea? So today, somebody that is in the house with me today is running for Orange County Mayor, which is a nonpartisan countywide office. And his name is Chris Messina, and he is a tech entrepreneur, an education philanthropist, a Winter Park resident, and listen to this, a Harvard MBA, a Rutgers graduate in the city economics and city regional planning, and he's founded a medical technology business. Several, actually. His campaign themes are about job creation, affordable housing, transportation, public safety, transparent government, and families first. And Chris Messina is known as a visionary. He's different from everybody else that's running. Chris, welcome to the show. It's great to see you.
Mary, it's just wonderful to be here. You look terrific, and your show is just really high energy, and I just feel very blessed. truly blessed to be here. Yeah, I am running for Orange County Mayor. Like you, I really never was much involved with politics. I didn't follow politics unless it started to impede on my life. And that's what kind of happened over the past 5 years. And I started thinking there has to be a better way. Amen. And that's what got me involved in politics. I'm really a business man and visionary, and those are my core strengths, and I think we need to do something different in Orange County, and that's why I'm running.
I'm so excited to hear that. There's been so many things that I've seen that just kind of seep into a new direction, and things change, and without people standing up. I got involved a little bit this past Christmas when our beautiful mayor was in Winter Park was changing the name. She took away the name Christmas out of our holidays.
Right.
It ended up being, I will say, a beautiful, beautiful time in celebration. And yes, she did change the overall theme. But because we had a lot of pushback, I think it made her stand up and realize there are other people that care about this town besides just her. So I'd love to dig in. First of all, what does the mayor job do? I mean, I looked at it. You do your key responsibilities, our day-to-day operations. You oversee the daily functions of the county government. You are managing a budget exceeding $7 billion, which you've got to be intelligent. And let me remind everybody, Chris has an MBA from Harvard. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be relatively important. Employee supervision, you oversee more than 8,000 county employees.
Right.
And then you hold municipal equivalent authority over unincorporated areas and census designated places within the county. There's other things like public safety, community engagement. But how do you see this job? Why did you pick this as a role for you to fill?
Yeah, fundamentally, it was because Orange County has some challenges that it has to face. So right now, if you look in the Census Bureau, says that the median income, the average yearly median income for an Orange County resident is $47,500, roughly. That is at the very bottom of all the major metropolitan areas in the country. So we're either last or next to last.
It's really
in terms
bad.
Of that. Yeah, it is. We have some zip codes that have over 20% poverty rates.
I was not aware.
Yeah. There are a lot of issues that have built up over the past decade and not been addressed. We have over 2,000 people sleeping on the streets, according to the Florida Department of Health. We're Unfortunately, really shamefully, we're according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, we're third in child sex trafficking.
Yes, I had Jan Edwards here a couple of weeks ago, and it was just it was outstanding and also just shocking to understand because the I-4 corridor where we have so many visitors that come and
70 million, flying in, and another 5 million driving it.
So, give me an idea of where you're. I mean, that's terrible about the median income, because they say, I think you can live more, it should be more in the 75,000 range, or do you have an idea of where we can
bump? No, we should be at a minimum in the middle of the pack, which would be at least another $10,000 per person.
Okay.
And to get there, what we need is we need to diversify our economy. And how do we do that? We need to look at our comparative advantages, our advantages versus other parts of the country.
Okay.
And chief among those is we're a prime center for space tech.
Yes.
And we should be the national leader in space tech.
We
have the second largest university in UCF right here in Orange County, 72,000 students.
Right.
We have all these great robes. We are in Eastern Orange County, 15 minutes from the world's premier launch center at Cape Canaveral. We have no income tax. We're in the heart of Florida. There are military facilities and people with military backgrounds at significant levels in Orange County. So we really need to leverage that.
Is it the hospitality industry that's dragging it down because of so many of the people that you need for the hotels and so many laborers? Is that why the median income is low?
So the hospitality industry is the reason that Orange County's on the map, right, with Disney.
Yeah.
And so it's very significant and very important. Many jobs, though, in tourism in particular and services are just, they aren't high-paying jobs.
They're not, they don't need to be educated to be able to do that. They need to be customer savvy, but they don't need to be educated, and they get paid more for education. How can we evolve? You said that we needed a more diverse economy, and you said you were talking about the space program. How would that improve upon anybody that might be in those labor-oriented jobs? Will it?
First of all, it would provide a path for advancement in terms of new opportunities, because a rising tide lifts all ships.
Sure.
So that's the first. The second thing is that it creates a demand for new services that don't necessarily require a college education. For instance, one of the plans that we have and we're proposing is something called Orange County Works, which is a partially subsidized trade school education for everybody from junior year in high school through till 70 years old, who's qualified and can get into one of the local trade schools and wants to pursue a trade education. We currently have a shortage, as estimated at 2,100 shortage of trade jobs and electrician, plumber, welders.
Right.
And those don't require a college degree.
Yeah.
And so a third year trained plumber makes about $100,000 a year.
Yeah, the electricians, they're very, very profitable, and then they can open their own business.
To.
Yeah, we do have a lot of other types of industries, like pools and outdoor facilities. I'm so shocked to hear that we are so low. Why are other cities better than us when we have so much to offer?
I don't think that we've had a big focus on economic diversification.
Okay.
So we'll talk about it, but from the leadership of the county, they haven't made it a priority.
Oh, see. Okay.
And maybe it's because most of them are recycled politicians. They've gone from one political job to the next political job, and they don't come from a business background. Or they might claim they have a business background, but when you really look at it, they're a politician moving from one job to another, and they haven't taken the time to develop relationships and understand industries outside of just the local community, which is doesn't help you attract other businesses. So, for instance, after we come into office, one of the first things that we're going to do in the first 100 days is do a very significant outreach to tech-based businesses, particularly in space tech, let them know Orange County's on the map.
Where is the space industry? Is it over in Melbourne, over in Satellite Beach? Is that where it is right now?
So it's all across the country. So the Space Force Command just got centered in Huntsville, Alabama. Alabama.
Oh, sure.
We have the Air Force Academy in
Colorado.
There's in terms of commercial businesses, Texas and California
have
a lot of them. And so we look at places like California and Minnesota and other places like this, Colorado, that are not especially well run.
Oh,
and
okay.
you can be assured that there are businesses there that are really interested and anxious to come to a new place.
Oh.
And right here in Orange County, Central Florida is the place for them.
I love it. You'll be able to give them, just like the film industry, they give them breaks,
exactly.
tax incentives, all that kind of thing. So you're starting to look at, or you're already networking at that national basis with the tech. Okay, the tech industry.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. I think that's great. What do you think in terms of the plumbing and the trade schools? Is this a Orange County Works? Is that in the works right now?
It's an idea, but it's modeled after something that's worked successfully in Osceola called Osceola Prospers. And they've allocated $10 million for this program.
Mm.
However, I don't believe they're focused enough, because they provide it to students that are going to community colleges as well as trade schools, and they only limit it to high school graduates.
Oh.
So our idea is, let's focus it 100% on trade schools.
Oh, yeah.
Make it open to anybody, because if you're 24 years old and you're in a dead-end career because maybe you went to college for a subject that there's not a lot
of demand for. Oh, I have a story about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. No, that's so great. Yeah, my son actually went to and did a bunch of labor things. He's done cooking, carpentry. He did bricklaying, and then he decided, okay, it's time to get educated. So at age 25, he entered school and is now studying to become a pilot. So it can happen. I love that idea.
Yeah.
That sounds very visionary. All right, we're sitting here and we are talking with Chris Messina in studio. We are talking about the future of Orange County. He is running for Orange County mayor. It's a nonpartisan countywide office, and he's a visionary. He's got amazing, amazing ideas, and he wants to run it more like a business, which I think is a fabulous idea. We're going to take a quick break right now and go and listen to our fabulous sponsors, and we'll be right back after the break.
Where voice meets vision. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am Mary, and we are talking to Chris Messina, who's running for the Orange County Mayor here in Orlando, Florida. We've been talking to Chris just about his visionary ideas. And I wanted to, because sometimes when you're talking to a politician and we're talking, oh, they're not doing this wrong, right? And we have so many new ideas, but is there anything in Orange County that's working?
So I think one thing that we are doing really well is establishing UCF as a leader in terms of the college space. So UCF's rankings have consistently increased. The school is in high demand. The facilities are really nice. Yeah. And it's a jewel that we should be really marketing. It should be one of the centerpieces of our marketing efforts to bring new businesses here. So that's huge. I think Universal's expansion with Epic is a really nice development.
Mm-hmm.
But the theme parks are incredibly important to this community. And there's a recent proposal that was accepted, and which I supported, to use Elon Musk's Boring Company to connect the Epic main Universal complex to the Epic complex. And I think that's going to be a really great connection. So that's working well. The airport expansion, I think we can serve more. We're serving more flights, and generally the flow is pretty good at the airport. Although a lot of people complain that they're tired of hearing the Orlando mayor talk over and over. You hear him every time. And so my idea there is, hey, let's pick 12 outstanding citizens from Orange County, have a little competition, and rotate it up and have them do the introductions.
I love that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I got to introduce you to Orlando Chamber of Commerce. They're back in full swing. My friend Scott Matthews is leading it, and his goal is to promote all the businesses of Central Florida. He's got the same mindset as you.
Yeah.
A lot of the money that comes into the state goes to Universal and Disney. And so we want all of the businesses to thrive. And so there is money there, and he is doing it. We got to partner guys up. So what do you think is broken in Central Florida?
Well, obviously, I think the economic opportunities are broken.
Yeah.
I we just don't have enough. And children and grandchildren of current residents are not establishing themselves here because they can't build generational wealth. And that's broken. Mm. And we need to make it possible that your children, my children, and our grandchildren, not that we have any yet, but when they come, that they can and they want to live here.
Mm, yeah. It's getting so crowded. Yeah. It feels like there are a lot of problems with the traffic and just so many people coming here. Yeah. So, you know, every time I find myself talking to people that are from out of town, I'm like, yeah, it is getting really, you know, really crowded because people want to come to Florida.
Right.
Because we've got a great governor. We've had some really good things. I think, you know, in the state of Florida, we are free when other people were not.
Exactly.
I would like to hear about, I know that you are, it's a bipartisan, you know, thing, but you are a conservative. I would like to hear about that. What does that mean at the county level? How would that impact your decisions for the county?
So to me, a conservative means you look at where you can put power, devolve power away from central government and back to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fundamental basis of governance in a conservative mindset is the family, is what can you do to support and invest in families. And so that's the conservative mindset 101. Number two, you know, I'm a person of faith, so that guides my kind of decisions in terms of how I think about things and approach things with a morality that our rights come from a creator, not from government.
Amen.
And number three is that conservative philosophy is to manage money as if it's your own government spending. So that means that when you have a problem, the first thing you should think about is not how are we going to increase taxes to bring in more money so we can address this problem. It's how can we manage what we're doing more
efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. More efficiently so that we then can free up money to invest in other areas such as affordable housing and better transportation.
I love that. That's so good that it is more, you're saying, to run it like your own business or your own company or your own business
or your household. Yeah.
But it should be run more like a business. There are so many places, and we all found out over the last few years how much of our money has been leaked into those NGOs that were not real and, you know, and we were feeling ripped off. I think Americans feel ripped off now. And this is all sounding so great, Chris, when you get in. Tell me about your first 100 days. What are you going to do? How are you going to improve our lives?
So we're going to invest in every one of the three major areas that are our platform planks. Number one, diversify the economy. So we're already working right now on bringing the Space Force Academy, the first military academy in the South, to Orange County. So we'll really rev that up.
I got to hear about that.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that more
in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Number two would be to reach out to my network, my Harvard Business School network and my technology network. And with the team that we're building now, reach out to their network. So we have really good backing from some of the business leaders in the community. Oh. And so so we're going to let them know Orange County is open for business, open for high-tech businesses, open for value-added businesses.
Mm.
And we want to get on board the advanced manufacturing onshoring. So those are three areas within diversify the economy that we're going to pursue. Number two for us is keep our kids safe. And to me, that one of the first places that starts is to provide them with hope. To provide our teens with hope. You've probably heard that there have been a couple of really bad incidences with young teens, like taking over Icon Park, for example, and rioting.
Oh.
There was a young teen in Apopka who got jumped by 12 guys and beaten unconscious. These kinds of things are we need to address with both carrots and sticks.
Yeah.
You know, so there's got to be personal responsibility, but we also have to provide options.
Right.
And so that's where the program, like I talked about with Orange County, works, that, hey, there are good jobs waiting for you after school. You can start them while you're in school. Don't screw up. We're going to invest big in sports. I'm a volunteer football coach. It's one of the things I love to do for fun.
Yeah.
Taking a bit of a hiatus this year, but I've been doing that for the past 3 years.
Wow.
And sports is just a great outlet for both young men and young women.
Yes.
And so we're gonna invest in that. Third is we've committed that we're gonna get rid of waste, fraud, and bureaucracy in county government.
Woo! Yeah. Love that. Yeah. That's great.
So in order to do that, we're going to bring in a forensic accounting team. So you probably know the CFO, Florida CFO Blazin Goglia, has his team has identified $190 million in wasteful spending. That's at a meta level, a high level.
Wow.
And so there are programs that we need to find. So those are a combination of programs and decide, do we want to invest in this? Do we want to continue it? Do we need to make this level of investment? So we're going to do the forensic accounting approach, and we're going to start with zero-based budgeting, which says that every program has to be justified. Mm. And if it's not, we're going to get rid of it.
Out you go.
Yeah, yeah.
This is so important. And it's like when you're hiring for employees, you're looking for the best employee. We're talking to Chris Messina, who's running for the Orange County mayor. And you have a Harvard business degree and MBA.
It's an MBA, which is
amazing. And I love to hear about your first 100 days. I think that sounds really strong. I love it that you have the Space Academy. Didn't realize that would be the first space. That's a college level?
No, it's an academy level. So there are several military colleges in the South, but there's no academy. So academy is the broad disciplinary academy, like Air Force Academy, West Point, Coast Guard Academy, and Annapolis, and the Naval Academy.
Right.
So there's none in the South.
Oh, this is amazing. Of course we should be hosting that.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you have backing for that? Are you getting that from the community of tech, of space tech, or how are you going about doing that?
Yeah, so we have a tremendous amount of interest in that.
Okay.
It's been covered in other media outlets. Mm-hmm. I've written some editorials on it that have been picked up in the military press.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting traction. And it's a complex project because now that this idea is out there, a lot of people are saying, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But we want it in our community. So we're going to be competing, I think, with Colorado, with Alabama and
Huntsville is big with all the space
absolutely.
Stuff. And Houston also, right?
Probably Houston.
Houston, you have a problem.
Yes.
You're not going to get our Space Academy.
Yeah, exactly. That'll
we're
be
getting
your problem.
It in Orlando. No, that's so great. Another thing you mentioned was really endorsing kids needs hope. I agree with you that sports can also offer that. And then you were talking about the Orlando Orange County Works project.
Orange County Works.
And
That includes Orlando because all 13 cities in Orange County, from Orlando to Apopka to Belle Isle, are all part of Orange County.
Okay.
And they all vote in this election.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me quickly, what is the difference between Orlando mayor? Is it because there's 13 different?
Yeah. Okay. So Orlando mayor has jurisdiction over Orlando City.
Okay.
And Orange County mayor is all the unincorporated areas of Orange County.
Why is Orlando more famous?
I think maybe it's a glitzier title. I don't really know.
We got to change that.
Yeah.
When you get in, I'll help with that. That sounds really
good. Sounds good. I like it.
That's great. The other thing, you were talking about hope.
Yeah.
You were talking about sports and also this work academy, you know, or Orange County Works. Orange County Works.
Yeah, that's
a
program.
And I think it needs to start earlier, like in the junior high and high school.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
you're putting your finger on something else because we need to give kids inspiration.
Absolutely.
So let's bring in. I just read a biography. My little daughter had a biography of John Deere, which I read. And he was just an inventor, a blacksmith. And I thought, we need to tell stories of people
that
earlier on.
I agree with you. I have a friend, Mark Marrow, who's a motivational speaker, who's given people hope for years. And we can talk about how we can do that because that's my lane. Storyteller, getting people inspired to tell those stories. We've been talking to Chris Messina, who's running for Orange County Mayor. And this is a hugely important thing. And he's got so many amazing ideas for Orange County, and we need to do some correction. So I'm Mary Gardner of the Mary Gardner Show. We're going to take a quick break to hear our delicious sponsors, and we'll be right back in a moment.
Your greatest impact is still ahead. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, it's Mary Gardner, and I am so excited. I'm sitting here in studio having a nice chat with Chris Messina, and he is running for Orange County Mayor. And if you're just joining us, we've been having an amazing conversation about his vision for Orange County, which is really great. And what I am so disappointed about is that the median income is about at poverty level almost. And so many of the people here in Central Florida are suffering. And with somebody that's stronger in business and stronger with a better vision, that can really elevate a lot of the businesses and the income that comes into Central Florida, we can have people that are out of that in condition. Also, we have over 2,000 people that are on the streets. And so
every night,
which is so sad, which is why we see them all, you know, begging. But I know that they're doing an okay job, but not good enough. And we can do better. We can do better for all these people. So we're going to go through some of these issues that are facing Orange County. Let me remind you that Chris Messina has an MBA from Harvard. And we need somebody really intelligent in this position because there's a lot of upgrades that we need to make. And a lot of it will affect you and your bottom line and make you more money. All right. So we're going to start with public safety and law enforcement. Orange County says public safety has taken more than half of property tax revenues in the last 7 years. What do you see as the problem and what is the fix?
So, well, the problem is we're not getting the results we need from that level of spending. That's uneven in terms of, you know, where the issues are. But I would say that our issues are predominantly around youth. So we have a lot of youth that aren't heading in a productive direction and are getting involved in crimes. And so an example was, I mentioned this, the Icon takeover. We had it was estimated 1,000 teens descend on Icon Park in what they call a teen takeover and riot. But I know, for example, I know some of the theme parks, and I won't mention specifically which ones, have teen nights. And a lot of those teen nights have been unfortunately marred by, you know, pretty significant drug use. And so we have to look at kind of what's the core of the issue. Mm-hmm. So the core of the issue is that, I think we've seen a bit of a breakdown in family structure, and that's been shown out by the evidence. And when that happens, then kids are not getting the guidance that they need. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm such a big believer in the importance of sports and coaches, because they have profound influence.
For sure.
So I would like to see more partnerships between high school coaches and middle school coaches and the law enforcement community.
Wow. So interesting.
Yeah. And also more partnerships between churches and youth sports ministries and youth sports leaders.
Oh.
Because we need to provide our kids both, you know, hope for the current and, you know, for the future, but also good outlets for current situation.
Okay, I got to put a shout out to all you parents, because I think that you've tapped into something really important. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when you've got a child who's in sports, a lot of the parents are all about the win. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm seeing or hearing from you is that this could be a ministry. And whether you're a believer or not a believer, it's not just about the win. We need to save these kids and to be able to inspire and help and support the coaches and not yell at the coaches. And then also be a participant, because if you can, you know, these parents that are really good and reaching out and helping the other kids. I know that we've been involved with sports forever. And I was a swimmer, All-American swimmer in high school. And my kid did all sorts of sports. And I still am friends with a lot of the people. It's a great community builder, those sports. I think that's really important. There's another guy I want to introduce you to, Andre Bailey. I don't know if you've heard of Breaking Through. You know
Bob?
Yes,
I've met Andre.
Oh,
I had lunch with him. Yeah, really interesting guy.
Oh, he's in the same thing. We have a deficit right now. And our youth are in trouble. And so, yeah, he's doing that. So the law enforcement and public safety with all of the sex trafficking.
Yes. I really think that the mayor's office and role is to really be a bully pulpit, to stress how important it is and to reach out to organizations. There are a number of organizations that are trying to do things in this regard, like United Abolitionists. Tim Tebow's foundation is doing work, and we need to really partner with those groups to say, what is it that we can do better and different to have more of an effect. And we need to engage with the theme parks, because a lot of it is around wherever you have a lot of tourism.
Yeah.
This is a problem because there's a transient population.
Yeah.
And people with money coming in and out. So we've got to focus on that.
We do. And it happens so quick. I've seen so many videos of people being snapped, you know, swiped so early and so quickly. And it's not just happening at the theme parks. It's happening all over the place. I've heard of really horrible stories. All right. So you're talking more collaboration, more awareness, more talking about it.
And also investing in technology. Mm-hmm. So I have a son with a disability. And one thing he uses is he uses an Apple Watch that we can track. So we know where he's going and we can monitor him.
Yeah.
And so I think there are also some technology solutions with my IT in my previous, my business experience has been in, a lot of it has been in with technology-based businesses. Mm. And I worked very closely with a company that made trackers for people with autism.
That's
also a, you know, you hear tragedies about a young child with autism wandering off and they get attracted to water. They drowned. I believe it just happened in Maitland. There are technological approaches that we need to really investigate and invest in.
Wow. I mean, you've got to be in this position. We've got to all work towards getting you in. This is so important. All right, let's talk about immigration and ICE cooperation. There's been a controversy over ICE detainees in the county jail cooperation. Mm-hmm. Local reports said that more than 350 people were under ICE hold in January 2026, and Mayor Demings later warned DHS about limits related to ICE inmates at the county correctional facility. You're very familiar.
Sure.
Share with us what to do instead.
Okay, so this issue is a real divider. In terms of, you know, what to do in terms of immigration enforcement and a real divider between myself as a conservative and all the other candidates running for mayor. Mm. I believe that immigration enforcement is critical in our in our country. So if people are here legally, welcome. I'm a third generation child of immigrants. My wife is a naturalized U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. And so we know the power of immigration and the beauty it's brought to this country. However, illegal immigration, what happens there is fundamentally what happens is the folks who come in, they've said they don't want to be part of the American ethos, the American culture, the American experiment. They just want the benefits of the American economy. So the strength of the American experiment is what happens with legal immigration. You become an American through a process, through the naturalization process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's e pluribus unum, out of many one. So you become an American. When my wife went through this process, she knew the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Federalist Papers and all the founding documents and the founders better than I would say 95% of people. And it really pushed me to, you know, become better in that regard.
That's so great.
Yeah. But when you illegal immigration, it becomes unum out of one, many, pluribus.
That's right.
And that's very divisive
and dangerous.
And 100%. It hurts the people at the lowest end of the spectrum the most. Mm-hmm. Now, should we get paid the rate that it costs to house an inmate? Yes, of course. We should be paid fairly. But should we cooperate with ICE? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because illegal immigration hurts. It hurts all of us, but it most particularly hurts people at the lower end of the economic spectrum. The people who are working 2-3 jobs just to keep their head above water.
Yeah, and we need somebody who cares about them. And I know the Democrats say they do, but obviously with their policies, it doesn't end up helping them. It hurts them.
No, it doesn't. And what's going on here in the county has been a sort of a backhanded way of fighting against ICE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making a big deal about the compensation rates because it's really an attempt to not cooperate while pretending to cooperate.
Yeah, we need some bigger voices with better messages.
Yeah.
I think we need that. That's why we need you, Chris. All right, affordability and taxes. A proposed infrastructure sales tax was paused in March 2026 because commissioners lacked consensus, and Demings said that the timing was wrong amid affordability concerns. And I know this has continued on and on. So is it going to continue? What's going on with the...
Well, not under a Messina administration, because I don't believe we should raise taxes. I don't believe we need to raise taxes.
Okay.
I believe we need need to run our we need to run the county more efficiently, and we need to make sure that we're leveraging every dollar and not wasting any.
Okay.
And if we do that, then we'll have money to invest without having to raise taxes, and hopefully we'll be building a surplus that we can spend for a rainy day, or if property tax reform comes in. That's
okay.
The plan.
Great. I love it. I think it's great. All right. Transportation and growth. Orange County has major infrastructure demands, including roads, transit, sidewalks, safety upgrades, and the broader question of whether growth is outpacing planning.
So we need sensible growth, and we need to have planned growth. The way it works at with new developments is the current county commission and the Orange County mayor, they respond when the developer brings the ideas in. I don't believe that's right. Like today I was meeting with a very significant developer to talk about, hey, there are some places that need redevelopment in Orange County. Are you on board? Can you do that?
Oh.
And I think we need to be proactive in reaching out to developers. And in particular, I want to see us have a plan and a target to redevelop all the abandoned strip malls along our major roads.
I have an idea for you. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to talk to you about that. We are talking to Chris Messina. I'm Mary Gardner in The Mary Gardner Show. We're going to take a quick break and talk to our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and we're going to hear more about Orange County and how it can be improved. And Chris Messina has the answers. Stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Reach out to Mary Gardner at marygardner.com. Open doors, build a legacy. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. We are on the last segment. I'm so sad because I've been having so much fun talking to Chris Messina, who is running for Orange County Mayor. We've been having an awesome conversation about the future of Central Florida, basically. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of problems. We've uncovered a bunch of them. And Chris is a Harvard MBA and has a lot. He's a business owner, a successful business owner in technology. And so he's got some fresh new ideas and how to revive our city. A lot of the people need more economic growth. And one of the things that I see as a big problem right now, we are starting to get into it a little bit, is the transportation and growth.
Sure.
And I know that just the I-4 corridor, the gridlock. Tell me about that. What are we looking at to improve Central Florida transportation?
Yeah. So the first thing, when it comes to transportation, we have to look at it as a whole system. So it includes the roads, the airport, the trains. There's Brightline and Sunrail. And the bus system, which is the Lynx, of which 40% of its funding comes from Orange County. Mm. So that's a regional authority. And so if you say, what's the first place the first thing we could do to make some progress?
Mm-hmm.
And with economic growth, more people will come.
Yeah.
So number one, we have to look at re-engineering the bus system.
Okay.
So to me, the Lynx system is way oversized for for a community with the density of Orlando. Work in Tokyo or New York or
you're talking
Boston.
About the actual size of the buses?
Yeah, I'm actually talking about the size of the buses and the number of buses, but particularly the size of the buses.
Mm-hmm.
Because they typically, the average ridership from what I've seen, it looks like it's 5 to 7 people per bus. And that's just not sustainable. What that means is that you have a massive amount of money tied up in very large buses.
Not which benefiting needed, very many people at all.
Not benefiting very many people on routes that are not heavily trafficked.
Okay.
And I'll give
are
you...
Are the routes correct? Is that or okay, because maybe it is. And maybe we do an advertising campaign and get it like Amsterdam, everybody runs does bikes. Maybe we get people to start doing busing.
I don't think that will work, because what we need to do is we need to really rethink how we're doing the buses. And to me, the answer is to use technology, is to enable our buses with technology to downsize them. So they're more like the size of the Lynx Access buses, more like vans.
Oh, sure.
And do it point to point where it's predictable.
Mm-hmm.
So you know when the bus is coming, when you arrive, when it's departing, when you arrive, and they're servicing smaller and more targeted neighborhood and going and
sounds a little bit more like Uber.
Exactly.
Uber
I think, yeah, it is like Uber X. Yeah. And I think we should partner with one of the ride sharing services to bring it in. Mm. And to illustrate this, I'll tell you a story. So I met this guy out in, I was in Pine Hills meeting with a church leader. Mm-hmm. And I saw this guy waiting at a bus stop when I went in. He was there when I came out. Mm. And so I just walked
still
out.
Waiting for the bus?
Yeah. And I was talking with him and I said, how's it going? He said, great. He said, you're heading to work? Yeah. Where do you work? I work at the airport. How long does it take you to get there? 2 hours.
Oh, no.
I said, let me guess. You take one bus to the Central Depot, downtown Orlando, and you connect to another one to go to the airport. He said, that's exactly right. I said, so you're taking 2 hours down and you work an 8 hour day? Yep. And 2 hours back.
Oh, my gosh.
So you have a 12-hour day for, you know, close to minimum wage job. That has to be changed. And that's why if we technology enable small buses that can go point to point, many, many starting points and many ending points, it'll be far more
Who's
efficient.
Who's going to fight you on that?
People who make large buses or people who benefit from really large buses.
Okay.
Yeah. But I... The people in Orange County aren't going to fight that because that's something that'll really help them get to work. And then we'll take cars off the road.
A lot of cars off the road. There's just too many.
Yeah. If the bus service is predictable and you know you can get there at a certain time and you can work on the way in, you're going to use it.
Right. Of course. Yeah. I mean, we think about the expressway and all of the organizations right now. They're monitoring the pull roads and doing the HOV lanes or what have you.
Yeah.
But there are so many other things. I hadn't really thought about that with the links and to get more of an Uber X kind of feel and more reliability on the bus. That sounds really great. That sounds good. Is there anything else with the growth of the transportation?
Let me just point out that this idea is one I've been talking about for 4 years. And just recently, Seminole has signed on to do a pilot to do just this.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
gosh. So then what I believe is we should join in that pilot and expand that pilot.
That's so great.
Victor Hugo said there's nothing like the power of an idea whose time has come. And this idea's time has come.
I agree. No question here. All right. So what about affordable housing? You were just talking a minute ago about around a lot of the malls, there's a lot of space. I don't know if that's what we're looking at or what are you talking about?
So we have for affordable housing, there's a whole range of things we can do. But one of the most important, I think, is to look at redeveloping of the largely abandoned strip malls that we have along Route 50, which is Colonial, OBT, Orange Avenue, and make them mixed use, a multi-income, just so housing, but plus commercial amenities and businesses so that it becomes a place where you can live, work, and play.
Yeah.
And that will also, by the way, take cars off the road. But we have these giant malls, like let's take West Oaks Mall, for example, in Ocoee. It's 130 acres, largely vacant. I think it's about 90% vacant.
Mm-hmm.
But it has foundation, it has water, it has sewer, it has infrastructure.
It's on a
main,
little mini city.
Main transportation line.
Yeah.
Yes, it could be a mini city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a need for housing in that area.
Yeah.
So
there's also a real need for community spaces or places for people to meet and to dance. Let me put that in there, Chris. I love to dance and there's not enough places to dance.
Absolutely.
But I have a lot of friends and I know so many entrepreneurs that are working from home and there's a big loneliness epidemic that also might help with the kids, you know, if there were things
and
to do.
And with seniors too.
Yes, seniors, they're all locked in and loneliness is equating to the damage to the body is like equating to like smoking 7 packs of cigarettes a day. Mm. And so loneliness is a huge epidemic and horrible for our health. We're going to take a quick minute right now because I have a segment called You Rock?
You rock.
Okay, Chris. So the You Rock segment is really important and really special to me because I had a brother who passed away years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he always told me he was the biggest encourager, even though he was very much in pain with scoliosis and ultimately passed of a heart attack. He'd always tell me, Mary, you rock. You know, be happy. Do what you're supposed to do. God's got your back, Mary. You rock. And so I really always dedicate this to him. And so I always pick out somebody that I know is rocking in my world. And then I'm going to ask you. So the person that I'm so impressed with right now, Therese Ice, I just wanted to call out to you and just say I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud to know you. You're so amazing. You're doing so well. She just turned 21 this week. It's my boyfriend's daughter, and she's just doing such a beautiful job. She's kind to people. She's babysitting. She's a coach, a volleyball coach. She's managing all her finances, and she's the best singer ever. Girl, we want to hear you sing more. So, Therese, you rock. Okay, Chris, you're up. Who rocks in your world?
So I have three children and I love them all dearly, and I think they all rock in different ways. So my son has a disability and he's just overachieved, and he's one of the most enthusiastic people I know. He's a huge cheerleader. And people with his disability, you know, don't advance to school, and he's in a full 4-year college program right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, playing clarinet in the band, and so he rocks. My oldest daughter.
What's his name?
His name is Evan.
Evan?
Yeah.
You rock, Evan.
Yeah, and my oldest daughter, Michaela, she rocks. She just got back from a mission trip to Morocco. And learned Arabic when she was over there.
Wow.
And now she's out at in Huntsville working for NASA, mapping satellite constellations so that we can build the next generation of satellite web.
Oh, my gosh. And what's her name again, Sarah?
Michaela.
Michaela, and you rock.
You rock, Michaela. She's a UF student. And my youngest, Marissa, she just took third place in the state for writing poetry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aww,
so
what a talented
and
bunch.
She's just a really little spitfire so I have to say my kids rock, and I have to also say my wife Julie rocks.
Julie, you rock too. Marissa,
she's amazing.
You
she's
rock.
The mom of all those amazing
kids. She's a beautiful
kids.
Beautiful woman. I have enjoyed getting to see her here and there. So today we've been talking to Chris Messina, who is running for Orange County Mayor. And you guys, it's just such an important thing to have people smart at the top. Not that the people that are in right now aren't smart, but to have a vision that will help all of us, not just some of us. And I know people look at conservatives, it's, you're only, you know, looking at the rich. That's just not true. That's why it's important to sit and listen to shows like this to really get to know the real person behind the story. And so, Chris, thank you so much for being here today. I'm going to let you have the last word before we sign off.
Okay, thank you, Mary. It's just a real honor to be here with you. So everybody out there, I would encourage you to go and vote on August 18th. That's the primary, but there are multiple elections that are going to be decided in the primary, such as virtually all the county elections will be decided in the primary. And if you like what you heard, I would love to have the chance to have your vote. I hope I've earned it. And you can learn more about me at chrismessina.com. And may God bless you all and your families.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening today. If you have any questions, please hit me up at mary@marygardner.com and see all of our past episodes at marygardner.com. And we are just so appreciative of you. We are appreciative of our sponsors. We do ask that the good Lord bless and keep us all safe and in his care. We thank you so much for listening today. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. God bless.